there. This is Jo McGarry. Welcome to our podcast. A little different from Radio Mojo, the radio show. The podcasts are meant to be a more private, more intimate, more in-depth look behind the scenes with our guests and continuing to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. If you want to know more about what we do and our work specifically with restaurants and food clients, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and this podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or any of the other places where you like to get your podcasts. Enjoy, and thanks for being with us. Hey, thanks for joining us today on our podcast. We're going to be talking a lot about food, and we're going to be talking a lot about local food. And what I know you all want to know is favorite places, not my favorite places today, but two gentlemen who spend, I would say, almost all of their time in restaurants, thinking about food, talking about food, and eating food. Grant Shuggy Shindo and Thomas Obungan are the owners of Slug Media. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
It's so nice to see you both. Thank you for joining us today. Am I right in saying that you spend almost all your time thinking, talking, writing, eating, blogging?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. That's accurate. Very accurate.
Tell me a little, Thomas, you start. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got to here.
Yeah, sure. So born and raised Mililani, went to Mililani High School. It's a very, sheltered community, I would say. You know, we're very, much isolated, but, growing up, like, my parents, my mom especially, like to take me out to restaurants. And so, growing up with that, like, practice of, like, always going out and, like, learning how to eat from when I was, like, 3 years old, you know, at, like, Spaghetti Factory, it was just, like, I've always enjoyed doing that. And it's kind of, like, inspired, me in my later years to, always be curious and always like investigating and checking out new spots and, even sharing that with my parents, bringing stuff home or taking them out to new places. And that's what they enjoy too. My current role, in addition to Slug Media, I am the associate editor for Frolic Hawaii. So, the best food blog in Hawaii, of course. And, actually was brought back. I was living in LA for a couple of years and, Chuggy Bear brought me back to Hawaii to join Frolic, and it's been the best few years of my life just exploring the food scene here.
And you're right, it is the best blog, blog. It's beautiful, it's well-written, it's current, it's up-to-date. Now, you had a slightly different route to where you are. Tell us how you got here.
So, born and raised in Hawaii as well, went away to the mainland in Chicago for college, and then graduated in a not-so-great, you know, time in 2009 where the economy had kind of slipped a little bit, ended up moving back home, and took a job at one of the big banks here as a recruiter. But then I loved going out and checking out new food places. And I just started freelancing for what's now Frolic Hawaii. It used to be Nonstop Honolulu, and it just stuck with me. It was my passion project turned work. And now we've turned it into our life's work with Slug Media.
Isn't that fantastic how when you find what's your passion, it becomes fun, it becomes a joy, it becomes something that you really want to do every single day. And then the two of you working together, did that just click? I mean, did you start eating together? Did you start seeing, oh, we share similar tastes?
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. So while I was still in college at Hawaii Pacific, I was interning for Yelp. So I was working for Emmy Hart. And, that's how I met Grant. He was a, Yelp elite. And so, like, I was helping plan all these events and I would always see him and like, okay, this guy's fun. Like, I love when he's at these events because he's always like, here, you got to try this or, you know, have a good time too. Even if you're working the event, like, you got to enjoy. So, you know, we became really close friends after that, and I moved away, but I've always kept in contact with him. And yeah, and it's like we always went out to these really cool restaurants. We kind of started this, the supper club, the Chuggies Super Secret Supper Club. It was just a really, tongue-in-cheek kind of funny, event that we were like, oh, I should make a check-in for this because why not, you know?
And that's something, again, that's grown from you love it. It was your passion. It was joyful and it turned into something that's really popular, mm-hmm. right? Tell us a little about, let me see if I can do the alliteration, Chuggies Secret Supper Club.
Chuggies Super Secret Supper Club. Yes. So we would always go out with our group of friends and, you know, we would invite people and people love the experience with us hosting and working with the restaurants. So they're like, why don't you just make it an official thing? And we said, well, that seems pretty easy. So, you know, we reached out to our chef friends and our friends in the business and they said, okay, great. You know, let's pick a day. Maybe a slower day earlier in the week. We'll do a special menu and, you know, we'll put out our best for this captive group of diners. And it just kept perpetuating itself. New chefs said, hey, when can we hop in? And, you know, new diners would come in and say, when's the next one? You know, and it just keeps going on and on and on. So, you know, especially with kind of the time in Hawaii restaurants right now where everybody's doing something amazing, we just have so many places we need to go and check out.
And I think for both of you, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really about the experience, isn't it? I mean, it's about, and that's what a lot of people are looking for now with eating is we know we have incredible food, mm-hmm. but we want some kind of experience to take it to a different level to make it more memorable, whether that's eating something that's so homemade, like, oh my gosh, Sheldon Simeon makes me want to cry. Like when I eat his food, yeah. It's not my food culture, but I recognize it's his food culture and it means it's so homemade and he so loves that. It is an experience just eating, you know, an oxtail soup or that bottom of the plate lunch, right? That is an experience. Is that why you think the Supper Club is such a big hit?
Yeah, I think it does so well because like you said, here in Hawaii, we all have access to such great food all around town. But by being able to let the chef step out of the kitchen and like talk to the diners and like share like what the genesis is behind each dish, it's like, you know, when you find that familiar taste in that dish, like I remember for one of our supper clubs at when John Matsubara was at 40 Carrots, mm-hmm. when he first opened that, he made this dish that was so familiar to me. Like it reminded me of my dad would make like a fried bologna sandwich. Mm-hmm. I was eating and I'm like, this tastes so familiar, but I've never had it in this like form before. And that's what always amazed me. Cause like these chefs would come up with these really nostalgic tastes, you know, stuff from their childhood or stuff from along their career pathway. And it's like, wow, I kind of share that moment with them because it's so special. And I wouldn't get that at a normal dinner, you know?
And I think we get that in Hawaii as much as anywhere in the world is people so proud of their heritage that they want to return. They want to cook their grandma's food. They want to show you what they can do with the flavors of Hawaii. And people always want to know, right? Where do you love to eat? Where do you go? So if it's just you guys and you're not even particularly having to work, do you have like your couple of favorites that, and are they the same places?
I wouldn't say they're the same. Like Thomas and I crave very different things. So I'm a person that craves poke. And for a person that didn't really grow up eating poke, it's a little odd. So, you know, it'll be the middle of a work day and I'll go over to Manoa to Off the Hook and get, you know, a poke bowl. I love their sushi rice. I love their Hawaiian style ahi and I'll get that for lunch and then head back into town. Thomas likes things like sukiyaki, you know, and it's just different. Like, you want to explain?
Yeah. It's funny.
Explain your craving.
I explained my craving. It's funny because it's also something that has grown from something I didn't grow up eating. It's like he had mentioned, sukiyaki is a favorite. It's something that, when I go to Rinka, which just opened there or reopened in a new place in Ward Village. But their sukiyaki is still so comforting. It's like, if I see on the menu, I have to have it. A lot of Japanese influence. It's something like I didn't grow up eating, but, I'm half German, half Filipino. So it's like, how does this half German, half Filipino guy like Japanese food and like, you know, I ended up going to Japan 4 times last year and eating Japanese food. Like, it's like, that's what it is now. Yeah, it's just a curiosity.
But that's what's so, I think, so fun right now about food, and especially in Hawaii, is that it's so global. Mm-hmm. It's so all-encompassing. I mean, you can, you know, there's no longer that kind of stigma of, oh, you know, you have to know everything to go and eat at a super fine dining restaurant. Even that wine stigma, I'm so happy to say, has started to mm-hmm. disappear. You know, I think very much in part thanks to sommeliers homegrown, like, you know, Roberto Viernes, for mm-hmm. example. You know, people who really are dedicated to finding fantastic wines that are not going to break your bank. And the same with restaurants. You mentioned, I think, one of the most accessible foods that I agree with you. If I have a craving occasionally, it's for the best poke. But within that category, it has to all be right, right? It has to be the best rice, the best poke, yes. the best dressing. Can we ask you where your favorites are? Do you have the one that's yours? I mean, as you know, the guy who runs the Poke Festival, I mean, I know it's like a big, big, big ask, but do you have a few that you think are just excel?
I would say Tanioka's is year over year the most consistent, just best poke out there. Very clean flavors. It never really deviates. You know, when they come out with a new flavor, it's already tested. All of their employees have tried it already. It has a green light. They do a great sushi rice there. And they have all kinds of other okazuya-type foods to complete your meal. And I love that. I grew up eating it. You know, it'll always hold a place in my heart. But there's a lot of... There's definitely a lot of competition now. You know, it's something where we see it be a fad food on the mainland, which also...
That's a whole controversy on its own, yeah. isn't it?
But it still sends ripples this way, where you see these little shops opening up here and there, and you're like, okay, there was one that opened up in Chinatown a couple of weeks ago, if not a month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's going around and trying them and then figuring out who makes the cut for PokeFest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then inviting them to come.
Yes. Yeah. But I think the hardest part is, you know, we invite them to come and it's like, all right, now we have to set you up for success. Mm-hmm. There's going to be thousands of people there. So, you know, we'll help you streamline before the festival, how many people you need, how many pounds you're bringing, even how you're going to be pre-packing and serving and scooping. Because if we can save you time there, you can serve that many more people and your line's going to be less crazy. And, you know, so we try to help on the logistics side as well, knowing the challenges within the food and bev industry, as well as making sure that they have a superior product to offer.
Now we're driving people a tiny bit crazy because we're talking about secret supper clubs, and we're talking about Poke Fest, and we're not telling them anything about how they can get there, how they can join. So I think it's time to do a little bit of like promote yourselves, tell people how they can contact you, where they can find you, how they can be a part of Poke Fest or part of a supper club.
Sure. You can go to our website, slug.media. So it's a really short, really easy URL, albeit non-traditional. We have a sign up for our supper club there. And then for PokeFest, reaching out to Frolic Hawaii or Thomas or I on Instagram. I'm at Chuggy_Bear, and he's at Thomas O with O-H-H-H at the end of it. And sending us a message or tagging us in something. You know, we're always looking for new, exciting places that we're always looking to try.
Thomas, top couple of Japanese restaurants for you? Do you have your ones that you always run back to?
Yes. So there's a new spot, well, relatively new, that we did our supper club earlier this month in March, Zigu. So in Zigu is from the Zetan group, but they also have Paris Hawaii upstairs. They have Heavenly. They have Aloha Table and Goofy Cafe and Dine. But I love that they use as many local ingredients and farmers purveyors as possible. Mm-hmm. But it's an izakaya format, so they have a really great sake list, really great shochu list as well. A lot of small dishes to try, but even their big format stuff, it blows me away. Like, they have this amazing smoked, applewood smoked egg and potato salad.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's super smoky. There's bits of bacon in there, and the egg has that beautiful golden yolk on it. It's unreal.
I mean, how can you go wrong? Potatoes and bacon for starters. I'm there already.
Yeah. And then, like I had mentioned before, Rinka is really a really solid teishoku type restaurant. So in the, during the lunch hour, they do these fantastic teishoku lunch sets. And you can pick like two sides to go with your order. I wrote about this new musubi shop that opened up on Kapahulu. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, it's a musubi shop called Kapaholo. And they do like anything from, they do a couple of spam musubi. They have, ahi, spicy ahi, tuna mayo, all the classics. And then at night, they're also a karaoke lounge. So mm-hmm. it's a duo. It's very quirky, and I just love it.
Kapahulu is the king of quirky restaurants. Yes. It is. And God bless all of them. Every time one opens, I wish them well because it's a challenging space. But you do find some of really the most unique restaurants over there.
Such gems. Yeah, such gems on Kapahulu. Yeah.
We're always on the search for gems of restaurants, have been for a really long time. That's never, ever going to stop. And it's been such fun to talk to you both. We're going to send everybody, if you want to read more, hear more, and see more about Thomas and Shuggy Bear, then go to slug.media. Couldn't be easier to find them. And hopefully we will catch up again with both of you soon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, remember, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'll see you next time.